With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
A flying clothesline, a 2x4 to the face. Then she hits you with a turnbuckle splash. Wrestle Club Podcast with Sakisa. It's her and her friends, and they talk about wrestling, every kind of wrestling. Woo!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Wrestle Club UK podcast. My name is Sakisa, aka the head of the table. And this week I am joined by the guru of the podcast, Mr. Richard Wright.
What up? Hello, how are we doing? Made a choice, I'll stick by it. Are you well?
What choice?
What up?
Oh, fine, that choice.
Made a strong choice.
I liked it. It was energetic.
I went with something different.
It's energetic, especially because of what we're going to talk about
today. Yeah, I won't
today.
Do it again.
No, it's energetic. I liked it. It was great. This week, we are talking about the rise of British wrestling.
British wrestling is fine. It's not dead. It's fine. It genuinely is. Bray Rush is dead. No, WWE killed it. No, it didn't.
No one killed it. My earliest memory.
Okay.
And I think this is probably most people's earliest memory is ITV World of Sport.
Do you remember that? Which World of Sport are you talking about?
Hold on, wait. Is it World of Sport? What was on ITV?
You mean the one in 2017, 2018? Oh, you talk about the one in the late 80s, like that ended in like 91.
91.
It ended in like the late 80s, early 90s.
There was definitely wrestling on.
Yeah. I never watched, I have no memory of World of Sport. I've seen lots of World of Sport.
Unless it was a replay, because I know it got cancelled in 1988, which is the year after I was born.
No, I have no memory watching World of Sport. My first wrestling I watched was like either WCW or WWF. That was the first wrestling I watched.
Because it's only because my gran used to watch it.
Fair enough.
And I used to be in the living room, obviously watching it, and I was like 4 or 5.
Okay, that would make sense. That would line up.
I didn't know what it was at the time, but that is like one of my earliest memories.
Oh no, I didn't remember.
My gran just cussing, and I don't know if it is World of Sport.
Could be,
but I know it got cancelled in 1988, so it must have been. It must have been something else.
Could have been WCW. Could have been WWF. WCW had, I believe, it had an ITV slot.
Really?
At some point, yeah. I think it did anyway.
Okay.
My first recollect memories of British wrestling, probably because I didn't really watch any British wrestling growing up. Or as a teenager, when I was a hardcore wrestling fan, I was like, I kept up with some stuff, but like I didn't really watch. We didn't have Sky, so I didn't have the Wrestling Channel or anything. We watched, it was a big deal for me reading online on Dirt Sheets or anything when Gary Steele won the NWA World title. We talked about that on the past and other things. That was a huge deal for me. I know the NWA title was in the toilet at the time, but as a massive NWA nerd, a British guy winning that title for the first time was massively important to me. But the first kind of, probably the first actual British wrestling memory was seeing posters for like one of those tribute shows.
Oh, really?
Do you know about the tribute? Like the UK Undertaker, all that stuff. Yeah. I don't think I went to it. I don't remember. I didn't go to it. But I remember seeing posters for like these like it was like these knockoff, and knowing like that's not really the Road Warriors. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
It's like
that's not the Road Warriors. They're not in that leisure centre.
Yeah.
You know. But after that, keeping up with the FWA and stuff online, but not really watching an awful lot. I remember the first live British wrestling show, I was really late because I didn't go to a lot of live shows.
Nor did I.
I went to see World Wrestling All-Stars twice in Belfast in 2001-2002. Then a WWE Lighthouse show in Belfast. And then when I moved to London, Essex and stuff in 2004, I didn't have any mates that liked wrestling. Mm. And I didn't like to go to these stuff on my own. So I went to like TNA at Wembley when they did some tapings there. I can't remember what year that was. But, and this was so out of character for me, I travelled, the first British wrestling shows I ever went to, I travelled to Sudbury in Sussex on either, I think, two occasions to watch Pro Wrestling Eve in Sudbury.
Oh, wow.
Because, like, I had, like, bought the DVDs of the first few shows and, like, really loved it. And I travelled down to, like, their first pay-per-view and another show. And had to leave. Remember, because I had to leave at the interval in order to get a train, in order to get back. Because at the time, this is pre me doing stand-ups. So at the time, I didn't actually. I was still a real sad little nervous boy, even in my like late 20s. I didn't really like being out late. So the thought of traveling back from Sudbury was like terrifying. But I did it, and I really enjoyed my time at it. But I left at the interval of that second show. Because as I left, Ted DiBiase and Tommy Dreamer walked in.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is weird. But that was my first live British shows, was those Eve shows. Then I started to go to Eve in London.
Mm. We love Eve.
Love Eve. And I was at the Resgal, which means I started going to like other shows at Resgals. Lucha Underground. London School of Lucha Libre, their shows. And I found wrestle friends to go to shows with, like Mark Cram and yourself and people, like going to Progress shows and stuff, like finally going to Progress shows and having people to go with. Mm. And now, like, my favourite thing in the world is to go to Progress or go to indie shows with my friends.
Mm.
And my favourite thing in the world, my favourite thing in the world is taking somebody who's never been to wrestling before and taking them to a live British wrestling show, because the experience is so different to watching it on TV. And taking somebody and introducing them to wrestling in that environment and having them enjoy it and having them come back is the best feeling. I love that. I love it.
Yeah, I, apart from obviously my weird earliest memory, was obviously when I then kicked into WWE/WWF and seeing the British Bulldog. The first, I was just like, who is this British guy? I don't remember who you are. And then obviously it was like me proper hardcore into WWE, WWF. And then I kind of watched WCW for a bit. So when I was in my teens, I would stay up really late and watch pay-per-views for WWF.
Nice.
And then it was not until like, maybe like 2015, I went to a paid for a ticket and went to WWE. No, I've lied to you. Lucha at Resistance was my first
wrestling show. Sick.
An ex-boyfriend at the time was like, I want to take you to something that I think you would enjoy. And it was the first time I ever saw Jerry Bakewell.
Nice.
First time I ever saw him, and I was like, who is this weirdo? Yeah, and we're now very good friends, but I was like, who is this weirdo? First time I saw Lily Snatchdragon, who again, burlesque performer, absolutely amazing, we're very good friends now. Same with Lolo Brow. First time I saw them on stage was and like some of my friends have performed at Lucha, and it was so, and the fact that we're just around the building, it was small, it was intimate, it was crazy. Then I got a ticket to see, WWE Raw. It was filmed in the O2, And I got a, because I didn't want to be a peasant, so I got myself one of those box seats.
What the heck?
I got like me, it was me and my cousin. It was like I bought it for her birthday party. Her birthday, she cried. But like we was in one of these box seats, and it was weird watching it live because I had been seeing it obviously on TV, and not hearing commentary was the weirdest thing ever. And then, obviously, carried on going to Lucha, meeting other wrestling friends. I used to take a friend, Natty, to wrestling. She saw Cassius, who we absolutely love, perform. And we were just like in awe. Then the pandemic happened. I went to a couple more WWE house shows before that, but the pandemic happened. And then that's when I really got into... I've been to a couple of Progress shows before.
Yeah, same.
I also had performed at Eve Wrestling. Yeah. Thank you so much. I was doing stand-up into burlesque, and that was weird because I was like sat in with upstairs at the Resistance Gallery. Got changed amongst these wrestlers who I had been watching for years live. And I was like... I need to get out of here. I can't. So I didn't stay in the dressing room for so long. I just watched it. And I was on before the main event. And it was already overrunning because something had happened outside. The police was outside and all stuff like that. But I had the best time. And obviously it was really lovely. But then the pandemic happened. All the stuff that was going on within British wrestling was coming out.
Yeah.
And that was hard to see because it was hard to see, but also... It kind of triggered stuff in comedy.
Absolutely.
It's triggered stuff in comedy, which was quite hopeful, if you want to put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And quite... I was quite happy it was all coming out. And then obviously the pandemic kind of stopped. And then now we just always go to Progress every
month. Yeah,
you
got Progress, man.
Progress every month. And then obviously I get booked to perform and host at Eve Wrestling, which is lovely. I go to Hustle. We went to Hustle.
Went to Hustle, yeah.
Went to Hustle. We didn't stay too long because it was busy.
Yeah, too packed for me.
We realised we're old.
Yeah.
Why are we standing? What's old?
Nah, bro. Nah.
Yeah. But we also go to Rev Pro.
Yes, been to Rev Pro.
And it's those kind of shows... Especially when you see people which you don't realize is going to probably end up in a big WWE, TNA.
Yeah.
Like watching Leon Slater at the moment, even still in house shows. I did a weekend at the Pleasance was the wrestling weekend. And I was the commentator for the All Black Wrestling show.
Nice.
And not realizing that who... Leon Slater was going to be.
Mm-hmm. Was that Roy Johnson's
Yeah, it's Roy Johnson's.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing wrestler as well.
Oh, Roy Johnson's great.
But like seeing them all in the ring doing what they do and being able to announce and not commentate. It was announced. Being able to announce for that show was like a privilege. And then to see how they've grown and evolved, especially in this market as black performers, has been so great. Also like when you go and watch, like, because obviously we knew Gunther as Walter. Seeing Walter in Progress, and then obviously watching him now, should have kept the name Walter.
I'm used to it now.
I still call him Walter. I'm not gonna lie.
No, to me saying, Marianne's go Walter. It's just Gunther.
But like, when you see Walter, aka Gunther. Pete Dunne. And you see Will Ospreay.
Yeah.
Because obviously everyone wants to be Will Ospreay now.
Yeah.
But even when you watch Peter Bate, Tyler Bate.
Put his two names together there.
Oh, I am.
Pete Bunn, I'm doing myself. Oh.
And. And even Mr. Mustache himself.
Trent Seven. Oh.
They're still doing the indies, and it's so lovely when they come home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Trent Seven came back to Progress, had that match with Ricky Knight Jr., which absolutely was incredible. Just an incredible match.
Yeah.
There was that. I had to throw. I don't know to anyone else. I was listening. You're into British wrestling at the time when it all happened. All came out, speaking out. I don't know if you, but I had to throw out a lot of merch. I had to go through my drawer and was like, okay, I can't have these t-shirts anymore or this hat or anything. It's like, these all got to go. I'll be right for this, like, but it was like, yeah, these all got to go. And I was like, why do these have to go? And I was like, oh, just, yeah. Not having these anymore. Can't wear these now.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Oh, it's also really funny. Sorry to interrupt. One of my burlesque routines is to one of the theme tunes, which is annoying.
Hey, they had some great theme tunes.
Yeah.
Horrible people, great theme tunes. Anyway,
yeah.
I think it's an interesting point now, the British indie scene again, because obviously there was all that thing with there was the pandemic. The speaking out movement, all kind of happened at the same time. You're also coming off the back of a lot of the top talent went to NXT UK. That went took away when the scene was at its hottest.
Mm.
Like, the scene was hot. Like, ICW sold out the Hydro in Glasgow. Wembley, progress on Wembley Arena. You know, these... But now you look and you go, actually, progress does good numbers. Eve does great numbers.
Mm.
Rev Pro do good numbers. TNT up in Liverpool. You've got North doing banging numbers. Wrestle Carnival's coming back. You've got that Coliseum. I forget what that is. You've got other promotions. You've got a lot of promotions in the UK doing good things. And you've got, again, now you've got these like talents at the top of the cards again. Well, you're looking like a Ricky Knight Jr., man like Dereese, a Luke Jacobs, Rio.
Yeah.
You're looking at Nina Samuels. You've got a level of talent that are on all these shows, and Emerson Jane is another one. Alex Windsor. You know, Millie McKenzie. You've got incredible talent and entertaining acts as well. Again, like Michael Oku is incredible. Cara Noir, Michael Oku and Cara Noir, both part of 16 Karat Gold this year for WXW.
Mm.
In fact, that's why they weren't in Prague. They were both in Germany this weekend working WXW, having banging matches because I watched that card. But it's an exciting time again. You can feel there's like a rumbling again. There's like an excitement to like now. Is it quite back at that level? Because like there was a time. Like before, in 2018, 2019, where if you wanted a ticket to Progress,
you couldn't get one.
You had to be online in the morning when those tickets went on sale, because otherwise you weren't getting a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Last time that happened, I remember going online February 2020 and booking a ticket like as soon as it went on sale, because I wanted to see Ilya Dragunov versus Eddie Kingston, which had been announced for the March 2020 Progress show, and then the pandemic hit, that was cancelled, and we'll never see that match now.
Aww.
We'll never see Ilya Dragunov versus Eddie Kingston because of what happened now. Kingston in AEW and Dragunov's with WWE. But like, yeah, you had to get in to get those tickets like right away. Now you can probably get Progress ticket on the day most of the time.
Yeah,
although they did that GCW show and that sold out.
Mm. I would have loved to go, but it was
sold out.
So out of my budget.
Yeah. They're pricey.
Yeah, pricey. Out of my budget.
Yeah, no, I paid that money for the Noah show.
Yeah.
I went to see the Noah show, which I thoroughly enjoyed. And that's the thing, we get like, and that's also, I think, a sign of like how strong the British wrestling industry is. Because now more and more, again, we are getting like Noah and GCW and all these promotions coming to the UK to do a show. So it's because the market is so strong.
Yeah.
And New Japan come here regularly. Like I went to see Royal Quest. You want to hear, we'll never hear more partisan crowd than that British crowd chanting for Zack Sabre Jr. during his first IWGP World Heavyweight title defense. It was just really funny because it was against Sanada, who hadn't joined Bullet Club yet. He was still like essentially a babyface.
Oh.
And he genuinely looks at the crowd and I think he'll say, "Why are you booing me?" It was like he looked genuinely confused because he was getting the worst reaction. We're like, no, it's because that's Zack Sabre Jr. defending the IWGP World title for the first time, and it's in the UK?
Yeah.
At a terrible venue. But that is not the point. Crystal Palace National Sports Centre is an atrocious venue. It's the worst. It's awful to get to. It's this really old sports centre. And they've got benches. And they're the crappest plastic seat, little seating things, right? So me and Mark are like, me and Mark Cramer there, and we were all squashed in, right? And it's like, this is grim. And we watched the pre-show match, and we're like this. I'm like, this sucks. My legs are already starting to hurt. And then thankfully, like, the people next to us, like, slightly moved. They moved across to the side. And we had noticed that security didn't give a shit at this show. They didn't care, right? They just had to be. They didn't care about wrestling. And we're letting people just stand around the back leaning against the barrier.
Oh, wow.
So me and Mark went, oh, there's a gap there. We'll go stand there. And if there's an issue, our seats are still there. So we went and stood and leaned on the barrier, and it was better than Progress was standing because there was a little barrier to lean on, and there wasn't like a massive crowd in front of you.
Yeah.
So we just stood leaning the barrier watching a banging wrestling show. It was really good. The venue's not good, and they made the weirdest choice I've ever seen at a live British wrestling show. There was these like two or three, like, not their fault, but like very like these young women, and they were walking around with trays of shots. I'm like, this is not the crowd.
Wrestling show.
No, yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, very, like, attractively dressed short girls walking around, right?
This is not
like,
the boxing.
They're walking around, like, during the show. They had to keep them walking around in the back during the show. Like, no one's coming for a shot from you, love. Not now.
This is not happening. This is a boxing show. No. Because even, like, I love Eve and I love what they represent, but they, when they have the burlesque come on, you can see some people are, like, so, like...
I will put my hands up, right? When the first... So I used to go to Eve regularly. When they first started doing that, I'm not the owner. Like, I'm not a burlesque audience. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? So it was like, I don't have a problem, but it's just not something I watch. I was like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I was like, so like, I'm not uncomfortable, but like, it's like, I'm not really here for this. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
And it's good now. They kind of like, you do it very well with it. Mm. And they kind of set it up better now than they used to. You just go like, oh, now there's a blessing. And be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Whereas now you kind of learn to be like, okay, we're going to set this up for a bit, and we're going to, if this happens, do this. It's okay to, you know.
Yeah. I think it's very important, especially if I'm hosting, that I have to, especially as a burlesque performer myself,
who's
done it. I kind of want to be like, make sure that most of the people I know have had a lovely time at that. And it's just making sure that people are on board.
Yeah.
And just making sure if you see something come off, just cheer, because it'll end up being like the pandemic again, where we just have people just like, just do weird clapping.
Right. We don't want that. Or just going like, I'm one. I don't know the stereotype of a wrestling fan. It's like, that's a naked lady. I've never seen that before. But it's not true.
Yeah. But I think it's exciting to see the talent coming out of, like, it's nice to, for example, that American people know what strong style is.
Yeah.
And obviously, shout out to Pete and Tyler for that.
Yeah, pretty strong style.
Yeah. Like, obviously, we've got North Strong as well.
Yeah, North West Strong, man.
North West Strong. I think the talent coming out, we talked about Dorice in our last episode, like, where you could see him ending up.
Yeah.
Because he's such a talent.
He's so good. Like, I look at that progress... I tweet about progress most. I'm not, because I'm based in London, so I don't get a chance to go and watch North or Tidal or TNT or Wrestle Carnival or Future Shock, if that's still a promotion.
There's one in Leicester as well that people keep talking about.
Yes, there is.
Resurgence. People are like, you need to go and see Resurgence.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
In fact, I've watched a couple of matches and be like, that's sick.
Yeah.
But like, so I talk about mostly about progress because it's a promotion out of the best. Because I go every month. And I look at that roster, and it's honestly stacked. Like, the potential in the likes of man like Dorice and Luke Jacobs, Leon Slater, in Charles Crowley, in Alexis Falcon, in Session Moth, and people like this are entertaining. The most entertaining act.
Gene Money,
Will Cruise, and Session Moth as the first family are hilarious. And we're meant to boo them. I don't want to boo them. They're brilliant. They're so talented. Will Cruise has improved incredibly and will continue to improve. And he's one of those guys, you look and you go like, oh, it's Will Cruise. Like, he's, you know, he doesn't necessarily fill you with confidence in terms of the way he looks, which I've never cared about because some of the greatest wrestlers have wrestled and looked like, you just look at Vader, right? Yeah. Doesn't look like a wrestler, but incredible wrestler. Will Cruise can wrestle, and Will Cruise is talented. That boy will be a champion in progress before too long.
Yeah.
Like, so there's like just a stacked, and again, you look at Rev Pro and you've got the likes of Michael Oku, Robbie X, who's incredible. And I'm forgetting, but I'm not mentioning people because there's too much talent.
There's too many. But I would say, like, Michael Oku's last match against Will Ospreay was epic. Absolutely epic. And it obviously was the last time that we saw Will in the UK. Probably for a while.
Yeah.
In an indie show. Yeah. Probably for a while. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
For a while. But to have, if you want to put it, the hat being passed on, the flag,
I know what you mean. Baton.
Flag.
Baton. Passing the baton.
Passing the baton.
Like a relay race.
Yeah. If you're passing it on
to
someone like Michael Oku, who is obviously appeared in the pre-show for AEW, is getting his name known. The talent coming out of the UK at the moment is great, and it's gone on for years. We talk about Ricky Knight Jr., who comes from a big old wrestling
big wrestling family.
Soraya, aka Paige, from that family as well. And he is, babe, I could see him.
He's so good.
So good. Every time I know he's on a card, I know I'm gonna have a good match.
You look at him, he's one of those people that, as we talk about, sometimes there are people looking like, oh, if you showed a member of the public a picture and say, like, is this guy a wrestler? He looks like a wrestler.
No.
He looks like a star wrestler is what he looks like. So I had a point before I said that, and it doesn't matter, it'll come back to me. But I don't know what I was going to say, sorry.
That's fine. But when you look at like people like Nina Samuels, who was in WWE UK but is basically taken over the whole indie circuit.
Yeah, all her belts.
All her belts all again. Her belts. All her belts all her again. Belts. How many belts does that woman need?
So many.
She wants
the hustle one now as well.
I know.
But she's so talented. And that's another, as you say, with Ricky Knight Jr., there are people who, in the name, I see them on a card, I'm like, well, I'm going to have a good match. It's going to be a good match. Nina Samuels is one of those people. The one that has like become that in the last 3 or 4 years for me, the man that go like, if I see him on a card and I don't have a ticket for that, I'm probably gonna buy a ticket, is Luke Jacobs, who has just like gone about his business and has become like one of the most reliable best wrestlers in Europe. He's just and he's my kind of wrestler. He's so good, and he's my kind of wrestler. Like, yeah, he's not flips for days. That man will hit you. That man is a good wrestler, you know. And he's even got trunks that fit in now. It's exciting.
Yeah, we always, for those our regular listeners will know that how, especially Mark Cram is always taking the piss. In a nice way. We're comedians. Well, that's what we're doing.
It came about because it was at a Rev Pro show. I think you might have been there.
Yeah, I was there.
You were there because it was and somebody else. And there was 4 of us. And we just started being like, I think it came from, he's really good, but he's boring, isn't he, Luke Jacobs? He's boring. Listening to his face everywhere. And it was like, he's boring. And we just started coming up with Luke Jacobs' boring facts just during the matches. And we just sit there. And every match, even now, at some point, me or Mark Cramolini go, Luke Jacobs is, and it's just like that's it. And it's not, it's done out of a place of like effects. Like, we love Luke Jacobs,
yeah.
But and then the other thing about Luke Jacobs I point at every match is he's fixed it now. He's got better gear. But he had terrible trunks for years. Terrible trunks, because I'll say it on record. You won't be able to unsee it now. The man doesn't really have a bum. Like, he doesn't have he doesn't really have an ass. It's incredible. I don't understand it. He comes in to wrestle and go like, I don't get it. It's the first thing I see every time. I'm like, I don't. Yeah. What? How?
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. I also will shout out the fans. I think when you go and watch a British show live, the fans make it what it is. And for me, for example, Jerry Bakewell, we love Jerry Bakewell.
Love Jerry.
Even if he wasn't a very good friend of the podcast,
yeah,
and a very good friend of ours, he is amazing in what he does.
He's perfect.
For ring announcing.
Yeah.
Completely amazing. I'm in awe of what he does. And he's always in character. He's always funny.
Yep.
And he is just, he brings an element of it, but the fans, the chants come out are so random, but they're so on board from beginning to end. And I don't think a lot of people really appreciate a live event, especially if they just watch it on TV. Go and watch a live wrestling.
Oh, it's a different experience.
You talk about taking people for the very first time. Tim is someone that we know in the comedy circuit as being like a producer. We both love wrestling. Tim's always at the Progress shows as well. Sometimes at Rev Pro as well. Sometimes at Eve. We took James Gill, who is the host and runs Always Be Comedy. We sat in front row. I bought the tickets, sat them front row to watch James Gill's reaction to a Progress show with Jerry Bakewell hosting was amazing. Like, he messaged me afterwards like, Jerry Bakewell was amazing, the show was amazing. He was like, I've got pictures, yeah, of his face just, yeah, being like, oh, what? Yeah. So taking someone for the first time who's never really even if they might have heard of it, because most people talk about the back in the day,
yeah, yeah,
obviously about the 90s, especially the peak era, if you want to call it, in wrestling. They always reference that. I don't watch it anymore, but I remember this. I remember DX. I remember all of that. I remember The Rock. They all know that. But when you take them to a wrestling show now, it's a completely different kettle of fish. The talent now, the things they do in the ring. We talk about Kara Noir. The entrance alone.
Yeah.
The entrance alone.
Like, yeah. Like, my good friend Ellie Gibson, who's been to wrestling quite a few times now. Great podcaster, great comedian, one half of Scummy Mummies. She came to watch, I got her to come watch Progress because I was like, come watch, I think you'll enjoy it. Mm. And Mad Chucks came as well, another friend. The things that Ellie remembered, which always is interesting what people pick out, and the two things Ellie remembered was Cara Noir, or the Swan Man.
The Swan Man.
And Gene Money. Those are the two things she remembered from that show. And I was like, ah, yeah. And like, yeah, and other friends have come, and they have all, like, almost everyone has at least come again. Mm-hmm. You know? And it's a different experience. It's sometimes I'm not gonna lie, sometimes the crowds are a little, can be a little like, let's not get ourselves over.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not actually about us. So let's go on. Some of the chants are like, oh boy, you, that was a real swing and a miss. no one followed you on that one. No, yeah, one followed you on that one. And there are a few people who you know, and whatever. But it's just an entirely different, unique experience. And I would encourage you to not just go to the big British indies. I encourage you to find your local wrestling show where these guys, like, not even the names you mentioned, like, you won't know anyone on the show. Mm. You won't know anyone.
Like, I still haven't gone to a Catch-22 show.
I want to go to a Catch-22 show.
I really want to go, because obviously Mike Bird has been on
Mike
the show.
Bird's a legend.
And when
Mike
he turned
Bird.
Up in Progress.
Yeah, I know.
We were all like,
I worked us. Guy beforehand was chatting to me, saying he was just there to show his face. Uh-huh.
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 Yeah.
Sure. Lie to sure,
our face.
Mike.
Sure, Mike. Lie to our face with your new mustache. I see you. I see you. I see you, Mike.
Oh, I love Mike Bird.
Yeah. But
go and honestly, go and Google, just put Mike Bird wrestler into YouTube. There is a match on there from, I think it might be from Resurgence. And it's him against Robbie X. Watch that match. Him against Robbie X is an incredible wrestling clinic. It's incredible match. But yeah, it's the one that I have to go to this year. And I've had tickets twice. And once I was ill.
Mm-hmm.
And the second time, I forgot the show was happening until the day after the show.
Okay.
I need to go to Fist Club.
Yeah.
I need to go to Fist Club.
I was just about to say, what I really love about British wrestling is that sometimes we don't take ourselves so seriously. Some of the wrestlers don't take them. We talk about G Money, just having some fun and stuff like that. But there are certain shows which are also queer friendly.
Yes.
And also don't take themselves so seriously. It's a cabaret. And we talk about wrestling being a pantomime. Fist Club is amazing. It is still the wrestlers that we know and love, but it may be just in a different element, just in a different zone, in a different viewpoint.
Riot Cabaret.
Yeah, Riot Cabaret, same.
I need to get along.
Go and see Fist Club. I would really recommend it. I've had the honour and privilege of performing it. Heather is amazing. Heather is the Cher referee. And it's just, I can't do Cher impressions, but like, just amazing. It's always an experience. It's always great. Everyone's having a great time. Last time I was there, I was co-hosting along with Luce, and Luce Willis is amazing. Luce was doing, we were co-hosting. We both got to perform as well in the ring. Luce did, because it was a night of 1,000 Foleys, Luce did their Mick Foley hardcore Cactus Jack act and fell on thumbtacks. And I was like, what? This is crazy. But then the last match was a Royal Rumble. It was a night of 1,000 Foleys. And it was all the different Foleys came in.
Sick.
Dude Love, Cactus Jack, just Mick Foley. Someone actually looked like Mick Foley as well, just generally. Then there was the Rock and Sock Connection.
Nice.
But it came out separately, and someone was actually dressed just like the Sock. And it was the best thing ever.
Yes.
And I got to, on the mic, say, he's doing it. The most electrifying move in sports entertainment. The People's Elbow. When am I ever going to be able to do that? Yeah, like, go and see
the beauty with wrestling, and this is why I always encourage people to kind of, even if you don't, I know I'm preaching to the converted here, but if you happen to listen to this and you're not a wrestling fan somehow, the most beautiful thing about wrestling, particularly at an indie level, is no matter what you like style wise not what you're into, there is a wrestling product that will match what you like. There is such a variety in what there is out there in pro wrestling. You've got promotions that will give you high-flying, flippy stuff. You've got promotions that will do things a bit more outside the box, a bit more fun. You've got really serious stuff like RevPro. You've got nice mix and progress. You've got hardcore promotions. You've got stuff as weird as you can think of. There are promotions in Japan that will match that weirdness. Choco Pro will match any weirdness you want. Chikara's not around anymore, but promotions like that, there's loads of stuff. No matter what you like, there is wrestling for you. And I think that's what kind of like, it's difficult, not annoying, but like, with modern wrestling, wrestling fans in 2025 that want to tear down other things in wrestling. I want to like be very tribal about what product they watch. Mm. Just watch the wrestling you like. And if that wrestling's not for you, you don't have to watch that wrestling.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of wrestling. And yeah, there's a certain element to it in British wrestling. Like, I know there are people who would never go to a Repro show, and there are Repro fans that would never go to a Progress show because it's not for them. Like, it's not the style they like.
Yeah. But you never know until you try it.
No, and the thing is, like...
It's like pegging.
Exactly like pegging. It's not where I thought I was going to go, but sure, like pegging.
I think that's where we leave it, with Richard being dumbfounded. But please do.
That's when you're a really big fan of Simon Pegg, right?
Yeah.
So that is cool. Okay, cool.
Let us know where your favourite wrestling promotion is.
Yes, please do.
One of my aims this year is to go and see more wrestling around the UK, especially as I tour and as go up and down the country doing gigs and spending my time in a hotel by myself. Okay. So please do let us know where the best wrestling promotions in the UK are. Who are your favourite British wrestlers? Past, present, current. Please, that makes no sense, but past, present, current. But yeah, you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean. Who is the future stars that are going to be breaking out from our British circuit? Please do let us know. Like and subscribe. As always, I've been joined by... the guru, Mr. Richard Wright.
Thank you very much. Also, in the comments, if you're in the States, let me know. Send me links to indie wrestling in the States. I will happily watch. I love watching indie stuff in the States. Let me know on if you've got IWTV, let me know what's the good stuff on IWTV, because it's a sea of wrestling and I don't know what to pick out. So if you have recommendations on IWTV, I'll happily take that. Also, I didn't plug on the last one because I'm a moron, but let me plug in now. If you'd like to go across to Spotify, if you're on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, and check out Grindy Darlings, which is my podcast, a wrestling-themed quiz improv comedy podcast. When this comes out, there'll probably be six or seven episodes out by that point. We have a really nice time. We've had some great guests on. All your favourites from this podcast, pretty much. You will be on it soon.
I'll be on it eventually.
I've been on, but we've had Danny, we've had Abel, we've had Mark. Just give it a listen. And also, this will come out before it. So one more point. April the 21st. If you are in London Monday after WrestleMania, get on down. I'll put the link somewhere. To Aces and Eights on that Monday night for Rofflemania. The LOL case of the showcase of the LOL mortals is the first live show for Grindy Darlings. So we're doing a live show. It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be some craziness. We'll all be very tired from Mania weekend, so we never know what's going to happen there. But please come along, check out the show. It'd be great to see you there. And check out the podcast. Let me know if you like it. Comment on that one. That'd be lovely. Thank you for having me on, Sakisa.
As always, you're part of the Wrestle Club family. We will always have you on. Please, like I said, do like and subscribe for this podcast. Please tell your friends about it. Again, please, we want to hear from you about your comments about British wrestling, British wrestlers. As always, my name is Sakisa, the head of the table. Hopefully we'll see you and listen to you soon, or you'll hear us soon. I've been tired. Bye.
A flying clothesline, a 2x4 to the face. Then she hits you with a turnbuckle splash. Wrestle Club Podcast with Sakisa. It's her and her friends, and they talk about wrestling, every kind of wrestling. Woo!